May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We remind ourselves a lot around here about what Jesus accomplished for us on a personal level in his finished work. That he brought us into union with his death, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension. And because of that, all that Christ is and all that Christ has been deposited into us because we're in union with him. That's a lot. He says we have every spiritual blessing and in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is mine, that Christ is all, and that he's in all. The potential for that is just, it never stops being mind-boggling to me. But I don't want to just have all the equipment, all the stuff, if the equipment's not operational and not functional. And the operational part and the functional part is on us. There are things that we do that either hinder all of that being operational in our lives or encourages, that allows that which we have to be functional and operational in us. This is from Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's a really loaded statement. There. Him being Lord means that you do what he says. And the grammar is written here is that you do that as a lifestyle, not just occasionally, but as a lifestyle. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, in the language again, does them as a lifestyle, I will show you whom he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the river burst against that house. I could not shake it, because it had been built, well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the river burst against it and immediately collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. You have two men. You have two houses. They both can hear the word. But one of them, and they both experience a flood that busts against their house. But one, whose house is built on the rock, which is Jesus, that house stands. The one whose house is not built on the rock, but he hears the word. So there's a relationship with God. But he didn't dig deep to the foundation, which is Jesus. And so when the storm burst against his house collapsed. He said how great it ruined and how great the collapse was. This is, of course, talking about our spiritual house. One of the things that God promises us is that there will be storms and there will be floods and it will bust up against your spiritual house. You can put that on your refrigerator, on a magnet. It's going to happen if it hadn't happened already in your life. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's involved in a cosmic spiritual conflict. But the difference is that how did that one whose house stood, what did he do to dig deep so that his house is settled on the foundation that's Jesus. He didn't just call Jesus Lord. He lived a lifestyle of obedience. And there's something about the lifestyle of obedience that transmits actual union with Christ into operational and functional union with Christ. It changes us. A lifestyle of obedience changes us at a heart level, below the surface, where the houses seem the same, the people seem on the outside to look the same, the storms seem the same, but the consequences of the storm is different. You see, even though each Christian is in union, actually, with everything that Jesus is and has, only as that union is operational does the very fiber of the life of Jesus begin to take root in our personhood internally. So that when the storm comes, not if the storm comes, but when the storms come, there's something like an arsenal on the inside, like a bulwark on the inside, because the life that's in us has now been able to mingle operationally into who we are. And so he's the rock I'm resting on. I'm not trying to be a rock surviving the storm. I can simply rest on the rock. In John chapter 14, we're told this. If I can read my Bible. This is verse 19. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me. Because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Union. When the day when the Holy Spirit comes, the moment of your new birth, you're in union. It's actual. Then he goes on and says something. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Again, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who's loving me operationally. Not just in your emotions, but it's actually functional. There's actually this thing happening. In verse 22, Judas Iscariot said, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, if you read through this chapter and you read through the things he says, he's not saying that God only loves you when you're obedient. He's not saying that God doesn't abide in you unless you're obedient. The whole point is, again, is that you're in him and he's in you. He says to abide in his love later in chapter 15. But to live in the atmosphere of transferred love, operational union occurs with a lifestyle of obedience. It's one thing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's another thing, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Spirit makes it so. It's meant to be something I experience, not just something I believe in. Not just something that I count on, but I'm actually living in the atmosphere of and the experience of. That's functional and operational union. He lives in you. The Father lives in you. He loves you. But when Jesus discloses himself to you, when that one you're in union with is released, is transmitted into your experience, is now functional and operational, then he transmits and he discloses to you the presence of he and the Father, the love of him and the Father, and you're abiding in it now. You're not just believing in it. You're abiding in it. I think it's so important that we deliver, rescue, obedience from the concept of duty, and that this is what's required of you. And you're not a good Christian if you don't do it. Instead of seeing it as the other part of faith, faith and obedience, of being those two things that allow the union that you possess to possess you. We've said this before, but it makes sense, right? If Jesus wants to live his life in me, if I've been placed into his life, he wasn't baptized into me, I was baptized into him. And therefore, if I'm going to experience that life being operational, it's got to be his life. And surrendering to his attitude, that's what obedience is. So what are the things I've prayed for, been praying for? Is that two things. One, Lord, put holy restrictions in my life so that obedience becomes the only option that registers with me. And keep before me the lure of functional and operational oneness with Jesus. I don't want to just have all the equipment. I want all the equipment working. That's what it's there for. Not just so I can talk about it, teach about it, paint paintings about it, but to actually experience it, manifest it. Amen? In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.